bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that this service will be a blessing to you. Be with us, O God, as we hear your word. Speak to us, O God, and help us to not only to hear, but to listen attentively and to do your will. I pray, O God, that you would watch over us and keep us as we not only hear your word, but as we leave this place and live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in John chapter 15, beginning with verse 26, going through chapter 16, verse 4. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when whoever kills you will think he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when they come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. Before we begin, we want to acknowledge the mothers, and we want to say Happy Mother's Day to each one of you. And remember, you have a special place in God's kingdom. You are a blessing from the Lord, and it is a blessing to be a mother, even though sometimes it might not feel that way. But and that's true. I know that. I have to say that. So I want to do a couple of little notes here. A mother is an infant's conception of God, a toddler's confidence, a child's counselor, a teen's conscience, and a husband's companion. A wise decision. I might have been a Broadway star or a witty talk show hostess, or come up with a cure for colds, or lead a no-nuke protest. I might have played at Wimbledon in front of kings and queens, or made it big in fashions with my own designer jeans. I might have written novels, or led a world crusade, or climbed the corporate ladder, or dealt in foreign trade. I pondered the above, and yet I opted for another. No salary, but the job secure. I chose to be a mother. So it's a blessing to the mothers, and it's an honor to be able to speak a little bit about them. I want to spend a couple minutes on talking about the mothers, or to the mothers. It is a blessed thing from the Lord that you are a mother. And if you know, and if you realize that, as it was read, a mother is the one a child usually runs to when they're hurt. A mother is the one who seems to be able to make the owls go away and do all of these other things. And so we find that motherhood is very important. We also find another thing in motherhood, and that's a blessing from God. It's a creation. Remember, when you have your first, when the mother has the first child, she becomes a mother. Therefore, she has created motherhood within herself or her family. She's gone from a lady or a young lady and become a mother. So now she has motherhood. And yes, she has a companion, her husband. We'll talk about him about a month from now, you know. And we'll see if we can have some good pointers there, maybe. But we find that she does one other thing. She also has a baby, and that baby is a new creation in the Lord. It is her duty then, along with her husband, of course, to bring up the children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. So we see that as they do this together, that it is something the children gravitate towards the mother if they get hurt or if they want answers for anything. Many times the mother will say, wait till your dad gets home and ask him. And when the dad comes home, he hears the question or the problem, and he isn't sure he wants to talk about it, he says, go ask your mother, you know. And isn't that true? You know, haven't we all done that and been there? And yet we find so many times when the kids will come up to us and ask us questions, we will find we might feel embarrassed or not want to talk about certain things at that time, or we think they're too young to understand. Yet they're being inquisitive, and so what does the husband usually do? Go talk to your mother, you know. And so she becomes a batting ram maybe when the husband should be doing it himself many times. We find that a child, when they're 3, 4, 5 years old, they'll go around and they'll tell all their friends, my mother knows everything. There isn't anything in the world she doesn't know or that she can't do. And then as a child grows, and we find when about the time they're 15 to 18, that we find that they say, Mom, you don't know anything. You know, you're out of it. You aren't anything. About the time they're 22 or so, we hear them, the kids are saying, you're out of step with the world and out of step with reality. About the time they're 30 or 35, they're telling their spouse that they've married, or if they're going with somebody and they're looking at a house or whatever, and they'll say, let's see what Mom thinks about this. Let's get her opinion. And then maybe when they're around 40, 45, before you make a major purchase many times, the children will say, well, let's talk to Mom and see what she thinks. And so she gives her opinion, and I think we've all been there. We take and want to see what their opinion is, good or bad or otherwise, and we may go with it and we may not. By the time you're 65 or so, then you sit there and you say, in many instances, I wish I could talk to my mother because she has passed away. And her job on earth has been fulfilled. So we see that in a complete circle of what a mother is or can be. God blesses us, and God has blessed motherhood. And when Eve was made from man, Adam named her Eve, meaning the mother of all things or all living things. And so because she was the first woman, she was the mother of all the living at that time, and still is and always will be. We see that the men are to leave their mother and father, and they're to cleave to their wife and become one, and they start a new family or a new generation in that household, and so forth. It goes and on and on. And we realize, too, that even when Jesus was here and on earth, he took care of his mother all of the days of his life. And even on the cross, when he seen his mother down at the foot of the cross a ways away, he seen John there, and he told John, behold your mother. And he told his mother, behold your son. And John took Jesus' mother into his home and took care of her then for the remainder of her life, which we don't know how long that was. We see, too, that if we were to go into Revelation that talks about Babylon being the mother of harlots and the mother of which takes and turns everybody that they can against God, we find that we have to obey the Lord God in all that we say and do. And as motherhood, we want you to know we appreciate you. And if it wasn't for mothers, of course, there wouldn't be any children. along with the fathers. But motherhood is a blessing from God, and it's one you can be proud of to be a mother, and your children hopefully would honor you and bless you on this particular day, Mother's Day. Now, I'll try and get back into my text. And we talk about, Jesus was talking about being rejected. The rejection of people against Christ. You know, Jesus said, remember, they have rejected me. They haven't believed me. They will not believe you. If they knew me, they would have known my Father also. Because they have seen me, if they realized I was the Son of the living God, they would know that I had come from the Father and I have come into the world, been sent here by God to take and save the world from their sin. So we see that Jesus is telling his disciples in this portion of Scripture to not be weary of well-doing and not to be weary of being rejected. Rejection is something which we don't want to talk about much, and we hate it when it happens to us. And I think all of us can say there's been periods in our life that we have been rejected. We've been rejected at work. We've been rejected amongst our friends. We've been rejected in business dealings and so forth like this. And we can take them apart a little bit if we want to. And at work, we might say, I've been rejected because of a position I might have applied for, and I knew I had all the qualifications. I knew I was qualified for it. I would use myself as an example even on it. One time when I was working with the airlines, I had been manager for about 3 years, and then I moved to Fargo, and I came under a different manager there, so I wasn't management anymore. But when one opened up in another station, I applied for it, and I felt I should get it. I had all the qualifications they were asking for. About a week later or so, after the closing date of the applications, I got a letter from them, and they says, you have all the qualifications for being a great manager and one that a person or a company could be proud of, but you don't have what we're looking for. So I took the letter into my manager, and I asked him, I says, what does this mean? And he kind of laughed, and he says, you'll know in a week or so. And he says, and I could tell you now, but he says, we'll come back in a week and we'll discuss it. And I said, okay. So I came back in, and he says, because of the government contracts to the airlines, they're telling us that if you don't have minorities or women in management, we will quit giving you government contracts. Therefore, you have to have a minority or a woman more in management than you got, because most of them were men. And so he says, this is the reason why you didn't get it. We find that they did send a woman in where the one that I had applied for, and they had trained her for 2 weeks before they sent her there. And when she went there, the workers of that station had to train her and how to be a manager and what to do. The only thing she admitted it, that she knew about airlines outside of, she was in revenue and accounting, which is a money section of it. But otherwise, the only thing she knew about airplanes was getting on an airplane and how to buckle a seatbelt. So, but this is showing that the government says, we're going to punish you if you don't do this. And so the company gives in to what the government wanted them to do. And so I'm not saying that it may not be good or not, but this is how they manipulated people. We see the same thing today, that many times someone is promoted or someone gets something that we maybe are qualified for, and yet we don't get it. Should we feel despondent and disgraceful? We are not, God says, do not put your trust in the things of the world, but put them into the hands of God and let him work through you in love to those round about you, even if they have done you harm. That we should continue loving them and working out so that they see God's love in us and they realize that God's love is living in us and God is more important to us than the things of the world. We can see in our own lives many times of how we maybe lived before we accepted Christ and before we had him as our personal Lord and Savior. Once we accepted Christ and they knew it, we start seeing our friends or earthly friends drift away. And suddenly we're alone or maybe with one or two people. We realize that we have to feed our body as well and our soul as well, that we have to get in contact with other Christians and live and learn to live with other Christians how God wants us to live, that we would not be short on knowledge of what God wants us to do, but that we would live in such a way that God's will would be done in our lives and our friends or former friends could see that we are living truly the life that Christ wants us to live, that we are not denying Christ, but that we're living for him in the love that he has given us and the love he gave us for dying on the cross and forgiving us of our sins. You know, when Stephen was stoned to death, we find that he looked up and they said his face became the face of an angel. And the elders of the land took him out of the church and took him out and stoned him because they'd seen this face, became the face of an angel. And when he was being stoned, he looked up and he seen Christ standing before the right hand of God. And he says, Lord, lay this sin not to their charge. Don't charge them with this sin. And he prayed for his enemies that were killing him right up to his death. And this is what God wants us to do because Christ did the same thing on Calvary's cross when he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And he finished that battle of sin for us. If we look in Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, it says, God is speaking. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, he says, I will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will charge them and their glory will be their shame. You see, if we don't keep our hearts and our minds in the knowledge of God and his word, if we refuse to study God's word and we refuse to read it and study it to see what he tells us, we are going to find we have a lack of knowledge and we will see the things of the world coming in on us. And many times we will believe those things in the world rather than the Word of God. We have seen many movies on God and on the crossing of the Red Sea and some of these others that have come out. Some of them are very good. And if you know the full story, they are enhancing and you can see where they maybe have changed it a little bit to make it more into a movie setting. Yet, people that have never read the Bible or have only heard the word or maybe in their Sunday school they had seen or heard or studied it and when they've grown up they have nothing else to do with it, they will take that for gospel truth and they will say, this is what the Bible says. And you ask them if they've read the Bible and most of them will have to tell you, no, I might carry it to church with me. But more than likely not. The only word I hear is what I hear on Sunday. Therefore, I am starving my own soul from the Word of God. I am starving my soul, and it's anemic. And God says, feed your soul because of my word. Feed it so that you do not lack knowledge, so you do not lack discernment. And as you pray and as you feed your soul on the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will come to you and live in you. And He's not only living in you, but He's teaching you the truth, and He's teaching you the way the Lord wants you to go. He's teaching you why God sent Jesus, His Son, into the world to die on the cross, to shed His blood for your sins and for mine. And that by shedding of that blood, He overcame Satan, He overcame sin, and He gave us glory, and He has given us eternal life as we put our trust in Him above all things. Then we can see, too, that it is through this and this alone that we have eternal life, because we're willing to do what God wants us to do. We will understand in the love of God that we can love our enemies even though they may be against us. We still want good for them. And we pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and souls, that they don't continue rejecting Jesus Christ, that they don't continue rejecting the Word of God, that they don't continue rejecting their way of salvation, where they would end up in eternity of torment instead of eternal bliss. We find that the unbeliever has rejected Christ because he would not believe what Christ has done, and that's coming into the world to die for his sins. We find that the believer has come to God and he has admitted, I am a sinner, and by faith I accept you, Lord Jesus Christ, into my heart and my soul, and I want you to be the one that leads me, guides me, and keeps me, that I may be fruitful for you and to do your will in all that I say or do. That it is you speaking through me to bring others to you, that I will be that shining light for you, and people will see you in me, and they will believe that you have been living in my heart and in my soul. We find man will reject God for many reasons, because he thinks he can do it on his own. Yet, God says, come unto me. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you the rest you need for your soul. I will give you the instruction you need, because when you accept me as your Lord and Savior, you will receive from God the Father and from me the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not only convict you of sin, but he will also teach you the truth in which to live and in which to walk. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll be with each one of us as we go forward from this place, that as we go forward, we will remember that in rejection even, that you are blessed, and Lord, that we will live for you day by day in truth and in holiness. Help us to live for you and help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 510.